It's business time.
It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, and it's time for a new segment here on the show called A Download on Chicago Business. It's a weekly segment where we talk shop with Chicago area business owners because Chicago has a long history with being an economic engine, not just for the Midwest, but for the whole country. And that has not changed as Chicago entrepreneurs continue to grow their businesses. And we want to make them share their stories to help us better understand ours. And as you're aware, the segment's brought to us by Signature Bank. Tonight, we turn the microphones around. Signature Bank is a Chicago bank that specializes in small businesses. And it's kind of in the news right now. The U.S. House passed a bill to roll back some financial regulation, parts of Dodd-Frank. This move is one that's met with positivity from both sides of the aisle because one of the unintended consequences from regulating the industry after the recession was its effect on small businesses and banking. We'll talk about that, but we'll also talk about the financial industry here in Chicago. How do locals thrive in a market that continues to be dominated by giant banks? Talk technology, security, and of course, business. In studio tonight, the co-founders at Signature Bank, Mick O'Rourke, Kevin Bastuga, and Brian Duncan. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
All right, so, I mean, did I get that right in the sense that, I mean, really, let's start with the story. I mean, you guys, as a local bank, your big competition, of course, are the big giants. I kind of made a joke at the top. It's like the Amazon and Walmart of banks, you know, as they sort of compete against each other. But as a small business, as a small business bank and a local bank, how do you compete with giants in the financial industry?
Well, it really comes down to personal service. We made a decision when we started the bank 10 years ago to focus on small to medium-sized businesses here in Chicago because we felt that was a neglected industry segment from the bigger banks. And we felt that those middle market customers, the family owned businesses, that they wanted to have a relationship with their banker. They wanted to be able to talk to their banker about what their financing needs were. They didn't want to be credit scored and deal with credit processing, whether a computer tells you to make a loan or not. So we actually go out, we visit with every customer, we get to know the business, get to know the business owner, and it really is relationship based banking.
I mean, at one point, if you ask my dad, and he'll tell you this, that, you know, relationship-based banking is the only kind of banking. You know, he's not a big fan of the idea of like you just mentioned, the idea of sort of printouts and automated loans and not really knowing who's behind. I mean, when you talk about the idea of relationship-based banking, is that something that is just gone by the wayside? Is that something that's still around?
Yeah. No, I mean, we're all Chicago people. As we were walking over here, I was thinking about this, that, you know, we were walking to the Tribune Tower and somebody said, "Do you know where it's at?" I'm like, "Yeah, we all know where the tower is." And Chicago is a very parochial town where everybody knows somebody that knows somebody. And that really is another form of relationship. So when you talk about you walked in the bank, you feel welcome. There's somebody from the neighborhood you might know. And when you go out and you visit your clients, we know intimately what they're about and what makes their business tick and who their suppliers are and who their customers are. Because, again, I go back to my initial statement, Chicago is a very parochial town. Mm-hmm. And we travel and we have customers in other states, and it's not that way outside of the Midwest. So we take great pride in it. I think that's one of the reasons we started the bank in Chicago, because of that.
You know, as you talk about Chicago, as we talk about banks in Chicago, I was talking earlier about the 80s and 90s, and there seemed to be so many more local banks, even banks that weren't necessarily local had Chicago in their name. That was the first Chicago or other places where you felt like, oh, that's a Chicago bank, even though maybe they weren't from here. Talk about that. Talk about, you know, you guys come from the banking industry. You all sort of got out of one bank and came to start Signature. Let's talk about why you did that and what the banking sort of landscape was like when you guys left.
Sure. You know, we had worked at a couple of regional banks in the Chicago area. That's where we were all trained and kind of sort of grew up in our careers. And throughout our careers, as we progressed on in those banks and started handling commercial loan portfolios, the common theme at a few of these institutions was, you know, one of growth, which every company wants. But that growth really focused on moving up market with the transactions that they wanted to do. So in the early 2000s, we kind of watched this happening is that banks were wanting bigger and bigger transactions where, right, you know, it used to be a $2 million loan. Now they wanted a $5 million relationship and then a $10 million relationship. And being a Chicagoan, you know that there's a massive family-owned, closely held industrial base here. And that's what we had done our entire career. So we felt there was this vacuum that had developed where, you know, the third generation metal bending company or plastic injection molder in Elk Grove Village or Arlington Heights or on the South Side, who, you know, the grandfather had a relationship with his banker for 30 years. The third generation owners were now finding themselves dealing with lower level people that didn't have decision-making power. And, you know, inherently owners want to deal with owners. So that was a big part of the premise of why we saw this sort of vacuum developing and decided to go off on our own and try and fill that.
Mick, is Chicago still a financial town? I mean, I think of LaSalle Street and I think of, you know, being a kid who was wowed by coming downtown and seeing all the banks and other places. But as we get to 2017, has Chicago changed its identity when it comes to the financial industry?
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, Illinois still holds the record for the most number of charters in the United States. So there's 500 charters left, but I'll go back to when we started the bank in 2006, there were 700 charters. So as consolidation happens, we feel that the stronger are going to get stronger. The smaller players will still be on the outset, but where we're seeing our success and where we're getting our new clients from a business standpoint is the larger regional banks that can't provide that personal service that our customers crave. You know, Kevin, myself, and Brian, we have relationships that we've handled for 30 years that are banking with us now, and we take great pride in that. I mean, there's very few banks, I think, in Chicago where the senior management team has relationships that they've handled for that long of a time period.
Have the people that you work with, the relationships, 30 years, are their needs change? I mean, when you talk about 30 years of banking, small business loans, trying to continue to grow their small business, a lot has changed. Like 30 years ago is the 90s. I mean, at this point, I guess it's the 80s, right? I mean, but the concept being that, I mean, Chicago has seen, not just Chicago, but the country, the world has seen financial changes. And how do you keep up with the needs of a customer that you've served for that many years?
Right. Well, no doubt. The biggest change in banking has been the technology side, the treasury management needs of our customers. When we started the bank 10 years ago, our original business model had us opening 10 branches around the Chicago area over 10 years. Today, we've got 2. And the reason for that is electronic banking, online banking, deposit scanning from your iPhone or iDevice. All of that's changed the need for brick and mortar. And we were ahead of that curve because when we started the bank 10 years ago, we invested very heavily in our technology, knowing we were going to have to compete with the bigger banks. So we were one of the first banks in the city to offer the deposit scanning from your iDevice. We offer all the bells and whistles from a treasury management service perspective that the big banks do, and we can compete day in, day out.
Do you guys have to think about what's coming up in 10, 15 years? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were thinking about investing in technology, you know, 10 years ago, what do you have to think about now?
So the perfect example is when we started the bank, a number of banks had started, for lack of a better term, messenger services, where they would drive. And this is only 10 years ago. It's amazing how technology just leapfrogs us. They would drive and pick up your deposit. If you said that now, I think people would look at you like you were crazy. But we constantly have to think about what's out there. And what we do is, it's funny when you talk about how has our customer base changed. I'll look back and I'll say that 20 years ago, 100% of our customers, 80% were manufacturers, 20% were service or other. It's 50-50 now.
Right.
So you talk about how do we have to change? We had to learn those businesses and how to bank them and how to serve them. And we've done that. And that's what we have to look at, is the technology is going to continue to improve. And how can we embrace that technology to serve our customers?
All right, let's talk about regulation. And let's do that after the break. Co-founders of Signature Bank in studio tonight, Mick O'Rourke, Kevin Bestuga, and Brian Duncan. We're talking about small banks, small businesses. On the download on Chicago Business. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business.
It's the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. And the guys from Signature Bank are in studio tonight. Co-founders Mick O'Rourke, Kevin Bestuga, and Brian Duncan, talking about small business banking. I mean, this is an area, and we were just kind of chatting in the break about a place where a lot of people take it for granted, especially when it comes to personal banking. I know you guys do much more with businesses, but is it at the same at that level? I mean, as businesses, do they take for granted the same kind of the things that personal bankers do?
Unfortunately, no. We haven't seen that.
They take it seriously.
Just the opposite. They take it seriously. This is their livelihood, and this is generational, and they want to have something to leave for their children, their grandchildren. So that's the whole reason why we started the bank. It's to serve the needs of these family-owned businesses. And fortunately, they still value the banking relationship.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about relationships and this idea of thinking about what's next, and we kind of were talking about, you know, you got to think about 10, 15 years down the line. I mean, as much as you serve entrepreneurs, you are entrepreneurs. This mm-hmm. is a banking, this That's is right. a popular industry, and it's an industry that continues to thrive, not just here in Chicago, but around the world. I mean, how do you look at the business of banking?
So, as we project out 10 or 15 years from now and beyond that, because we plan to be around for that long, first of all. But, you know, we talked about banking these companies for generations. When we bring on a customer, we want to be their bank for the next 20, 25 years or as long as they're in existence. So when you think about those life cycles, you see a lot. You see generational changes. You see how a company deals with business cycles, especially this last 10 years. For some of the younger folks at our bank who had never lived through an economic downturn, this has been a sort of a fantastic learning experience, right? For the whole industry. But one of the things that we think about, because a lot of these businesses deal with these generational issues, and one thing that all banks are going to have to deal with is sort of how do millennials value, if they value, their banking relationship at all. And from the business standpoint, you know, the next generation of owners are coming out of the millennial generation. Mm-hmm. Their frame of reference and experience with banking is completely different.
And I guess that's what I was getting at with the first question. Do you see similarities in the way that the generations view banking? I mean, it's changing. I mean, I think of the way that I view banking much differently than my father's generation or or my grandfather's generation. I mean, it's much to their chagrin when they think about me, but I only think that my son is going to be different. I mean, do you have to, as bankers in this business, adjust to the way that the population sort of views the banking industry?
I think so. You know, as Brian was mentioning in the break, that personal banking for a lot of people has just become commoditized. It's so technology reliant. You really don't know that you need a banking relationship until you really need a banking relationship. And that's really true on the business side. As Mick was mentioning, we get a lot of new clients from larger regional banks that, they had their personal account there, so they opened a business account there when they started their company. And then as they mature and they grow, they realize they have different needs in terms of technology and the accounts they need and credit. You know, mm-hmm. they need business credit. And that's where that lack of relationship sort of plays right into our model.
Right.
Like, I go out and I help out at 1871 every other Tuesday, and we have office hours. And we sit there and they'll come in with their pitches, and they're phenomenal. I love hearing it. They're truly entrepreneurs. They're doing great things at 1871. They're all to be commended. And I'll say to them, we're right across the street. Bank with us. Start a relationship. And it's almost like pulling teeth. But we have to be there, and we have to ask for the business, because those companies are going to be successful. But it really, it's just...
Do they not think that they need that relationship? Or what, just, why is it pulling teeth?
And we were there when we were starting our business. You don't think about the little things at that point. They don't see the banking as a major part, but we're there telling them, we're just here to help you. We're here to assist you. If we can give you guidance, that's great. But here's one little aspect of the business that if you start this now, it's going to help you in the future. And when, people get blinders on when they're trying to start their business, and we've seen it.
Well, I mean, we've had a lot of conversations on the show, even the Download Chicago Business, about entrepreneurs and starting businesses and small businesses. Small businesses in the news. We just saw, as I mentioned in the lead, some partial rollback of Dodd-Frank and financial regulation. I don't want to get into the political side of it, but how often as you guys have really dedicated your lives to the banking industry, how often do you see it where something will look good on paper at the government level in D.C. or even in the state of Illinois, where they say this is good for small business, this is good for banking, this is good for loans, what have you, or protections against another recession, what have you, that it has unintended consequences? We've heard this over and over, that the small business landscape, and it really played a big part in the 2016 election, sort of handcuffed by some of the things that were really meant for larger banks and regulation for Wall Street. that really came down on the backs of small businesses and small business banks.
Right. So, you know, Dodd-Frank in particular, when it was written and the law says that it's only applicable to banks over $10 billion in assets. So by regulatory standards, a community bank is less than $10 billion. So it wasn't intended to affect banks our size. However, going through the crisis that we went through, it's human nature for the regulatory agencies to sort of push the best practices downhill. And that's certainly what has happened. A lot of regulation that comes out of Washington is intended to enhance the safety of the banking system, enhance credit standards, and a lot of the times what it does is it restricts the credit that it was meant to safeguard. So the folks that they're trying to help often get hurt because it makes it too
hard. How do you guys work around that? How can you not only thrive as your own business, but how can you help small businesses when there seems to be handcuffs on, you know, from regulations that were passed down from governments?
We try to, again, we take this approach where, again, we live in a regulated world. We started a bank. We understood it was going to be regulated. And we have open dialogue with the regulators. And I think from day one, we've always been proactive with them saying, you know, you can't paint with the broad brush. What we're doing is not comparable to what the larger banks are doing. And we've had actually great success that way, and they like our customer base. They like the fact that we're serving our community. I mean, that's really the major test for the banks. Are you really serving your communities? And I think 7 days a week and twice on Sunday, we do that. We serve the local businesses. We serve the local customers. And I think that's probably one of the first litmus tests for the regulators. We're not looking at huge opportunities in Puerto Rico. We're looking at the six county area.
Well, that's a great place to sort of wrap up where we started, the idea of you guys being a local bank and what you guys can offer where giant banks may not be able to. Being a Chicago bank, what's that mean to you guys? What's it mean to not only be a bank that serves local communities, but this community? You guys came up through the regional banks here in the area. I mean, talk about what it means to be known as a Chicago area bank.
Right. We're all very proud Chicagoans. Chicago is a very diverse economy. We know the difference between Northsiders and Southsiders and Sox fans and Cubs fans. It's a very diverse industry, lots of different businesses. We deal everything from service companies to manufacturers. We enjoy what we do. We enjoy helping small businesses. We enjoy growing and helping see them hire people and develop new products. Chicago is a great place to do that. At the end of the day, the state's got its challenges. The city has its challenges. But this is a good place to do business.
Guys?
As we try and bring in additional clients, we have an incredible leg up. If it's a Chicago-based business, we'll have an immediate connection with them because we're a Chicago-based business. In fact, I talked to somebody 3 years ago who was thinking about joining the bank, and he was from out of town. He said, I don't know what it's like to go on a call and make an immediate connection, as Brian said, a Northsider, Southsider. We can do that because we know this market. We study it, and we study it by actually wearing out shoe leather, by going to visit clients. And it gives us an incredible advantage, and we're proud of that.
All right. Kevin, anything?
No, that's pretty much it. We're happy to be here. Thanks for having us on.
Co-founders of Signature Bank, Mick O'Rourke, Kevin Bastuga, and Brian Duncan in studio for the Download of Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Thanks for joining me tonight, guys.
Thank you, and thank you for being a customer.